Hello and welcome to the Rigori Podcast, the show that's as in demand as Gianluca Mancini's underpants after a victory in the Rome Derby. I'm Giancarlo Rinaldi and I'm joined as always by my cousin Marco. Marco, how are you doing?
Frustrated this week, I think.
Yes.
I think we'll both share that.
I think that could be the theme. That could be the theme of this podcast, I think. Well, it's Sunday night, the dust has just settled on Max Allegri's 5,018th 1-0 victory over Fiorentina. That's what it feels like anyway. And it all went according to script, didn't it, Marco? Really, that was the bottom
yeah.
line.
Yeah, we were talking about it just before we started recording, and I felt that Fiorentina just they gave you the first half, unfortunately. And then second half, definitely deserved to get a goal in that. But Juve had the ball in the net four times in that first half. Now, they were offside three times. But,
yeah,
you know, it was like Fiorentina. Yeah, they didn't seem to be interested in the game.
It was as if the mind was already on Europe. I mean, and in a sense, as a fan, I have to admit, my mind is already on Europe and the Copa, because you're sitting in 10th place in the league. And you know, the only thing I would say is that it's a bit stupid to have that mentality, because it's still quite tight, not for Champions League, but for Europa and Conference League, which could still be, you know, a worthwhile thing to get into. They're not that far off of that. So it was a puzzling approach. As I say, I don't know if it was a mental approach that they came in already beaten, or it was just tactical that, you know, he made a few changes that didn't work particularly well. But whatever, the second half, little Maxine Lopez had one of his best games for Fiorentina, and they did Sotil as well. They did all make
a
difference.
Coyote was very good.
He is good. He's going to be, I mean, not to jinx him, but he's got the prospects of being an Italy international, I would say, in that right way. Brings athleticism and, you know, no little skill to that position, and a hell of a throw-in as well. If you're looking, if we played Big Lorenzo Luca up front, then it would be a hell of a target for him to hit. So, you know, yeah, there were some bright spots in the second half, and Wojciech Szczesny pulled off an amazing save to deny Nico Gonzalez a deflect. I mean, normally those deflected shots spin off over a goalie, but he made the save. And then it was good, I thought, of Mbalanzola to clear the ball off the line when Beltran was shooting as well.
I thought you'd have enjoyed that one. Yeah.
that was decent of him. I mean, that sums up his contribution to the Fiorentina cause this season. But yeah, a frustrating evening, really, and Juve back to their old ways, really happy to sit. And I mean, the only highlight, such as it was from a Fiorentina point of view, was probably Dusan Vlahovic's goal that he celebrated so delightedly, being disallowed. I mean, he scored twice, but two of the disallowed goals, I mean, in honesty, were so far offside that there was no doubt. The one that he scored that he thought was going to stand was another one of sort of just Weston McKennie danced into an offside position briefly, and that was enough to rule it out. So that gave some small amount of pleasure in the evening, but it wasn't enough to get through the game. So it leaves Fiorentina, if all their eggs were not already in the Conference League and Coppa Italia basket, then they pretty much are now. But before we leave Juventus behind, there have been some interesting transfer talk this week, which I know caught your eye, Marco, and you had some thoughts on who they're being linked with.
Yeah, obviously they're being linked with Mason Greenwood, who is at Getafe this season. Is it Getafe? I think so. On loan from Man United. But I am astonished, and maybe I'm looking in the wrong places, but I'm astonished that I haven't seen Juve fans up in arms about this, because if I was a fan of any club that tried to sign that guy, I don't know what I would do. I don't think I could support the club if he was playing for them, because without getting into the detail of what he was involved in, he's clearly a POS, as they say, on the internet. And, you know, in the same way that last week I was moaning about Portanova at Regina, who was convicted, in fact, of something. You know, these players shouldn't they shouldn't be playing for clubs anymore.
I mean, as sort of devil's advocate, I suppose. I mean, charges were dropped.
Yeah, but if you read into them, that, and there was audio files that you could hear for yourself what happened.
Right. So. Okay. Well, I've you've done more research on the subject than I have. I'm not going to play. I mean, there certainly was. You know, the Juve style was a thing back in the 70s, and you know, there was certainly, you had to be a certain sort of player or have a certain sort of prestige or whatever behaviour to play for Juve. So interesting. I mean, whether that, I was more, even just from a playing point of view, quite surprised that they would bother, because there seems to be, you know, there's definitely a school of thought that Chiesa will be shipped out in the summer, which I find intriguing, only in that, why would you, you know, if it depends on Allegri, really. If you're keeping Allegri, then do ship out Chiesa, please, because he needs to play somewhere where he's not relying on one counter-attack every 15 minutes. But, you know, if he's going, then why not keep Chiesa, who I would say was, you know, many times the player Mason Greenwood is, and also, you know, I don't know, I think there was other players, were Elling Jr., Kostic, I mean, there I can see, you know, well, Elling Jr. to prospect, Kostic, that hasn't really worked out all that well, although, again, I do think, I mean, he was going great guns before he signed for Juventus, but, you know, he's a player that likes to attack, and he's a player that likes to beat the man, and he's, you're not going to get the best out of him playing him as a glorified fullback. So I don't know. I think there's big issues there for Juve to sort out, and it is certainly, even, you know, the off-the-pitch stuff is one thing, and you're right, you know, you want your club to represent your values as well, you know, and that's not something that, you know, you could see was happening, or maybe it is, but, you know, I don't think you would want that kind of thing linked to your club. But then there's also, to me, the on the pitch, that I'm not sure what he would add to the team, especially if it's up in the air, you know, as I say, if you're keeping Allegri, then I don't know who's going to, I think another six big defenders is probably what you want if you bring in Allegri.
I mean, we'll move on from this, but yeah, I just don't know what I would, like, if a player like that, for the off-the-pitch reason, signed for my club, signed for Venezia, and then scored a goal and stuff, I would genuinely find it difficult to celebrate that sort of thing.
No, I mean, I think there's numerous cases of this, and the football world does tend to be a forgiving one. You know, there's people convicted of stuff that is reprehensible, and yet they, if you can kick a ball straight, you know, it seems to be enough. They almost always find a club. Not always, I suppose. There are some who've been, you know, taken out of the game, but, you know, it does always seem that they find a club, and then, you know, you don't want it to be your club, I guess. That's the thing, is, you know, as I say, because you do, the footballers are role models for young men and women growing up, and you want them to, you know, be held to certain standards and show certain behaviours. But anyway, that's our moral preaching for the week done. On more footballing matters, it was the little matter of the Rome derby earlier in the weekend, and that proved to be, I mean, I think surely there can't be any Roma fan left that's missing Jose Mourinho.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, we spoke just recently about the impact De Rossi's had, and certainly I had been doubtful of it, but he's proven himself, and they won the derby. They scored, I think, that was the first time they scored in the derby for
two years, I think. Two years, I think he said.
So, you know, yeah, all in all, a good weekend for Rome fans. And Lazio just, I think, are just not, you know, this season hasn't been a great one for them in this transition, essentially.
Yeah, there's something gone wrong there. You know, they were a much stronger unit last year, and for whatever reason, they just don't look as good. Roma did look good in that game. And you know, I think De Rossi's celebrations were just, you know, I think every football fan, apart from Lazio fans, obviously, knows that feeling to kind of, for him, a Roman, to manage his club in a win in the Rome derby, you could see exactly what it meant to him. And achieved with, you know, playing football as well. I think that's the thing, is that it's definitely unleashed the shackles that Mourinho had put on those players and allowed them to express themselves. And they can look forward to, you know, they can have a right good go at Milan in Europe now as well. So suddenly there's a much brighter... And I would put, you know, they firmly pulled themselves out of... I mean, I think it's almost uncontested now that Juve are the most excruciating team to watch in Serie A, because it was Roma that were kind of vying with them for that title. But, you know, Roma's definitely relinquished their grip on that. And, you know, that was a big win.
Salernitana fans might.
Okay, fair enough. But of those, we might expect better, let's say, than, you know, who are kind of underperforming or under-delivering in terms of entertainment, pair, kind of millions spent on players or whatever, then Juve's definitely uncontested in that regard. You know, so that was a big win for De Rossi, and, you know, just as I say, I don't think anyone grudged it. Also, probably, I would say, almost certainly means that there was chat in Florence that De Rossi would be the next Fiorentina manager come, but I think it's safe to say that he'll be appointed to the Roma job. I would think. I mean, I know there's always a danger in the interim becoming the kind of the permanent, but I mean, surely would you offer him a contract now, Marco, and what he's done?
I mean, I can't see how they can't do that. You know, the fan outrage would be massive.
Exactly.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, why wouldn't you? He's turned the club around, as you say. He's got them playing better football. He's got results. So, and you know, they could still go on and lift a trophy in Europe. So, I think he's got to get offered the job. We'll see, obviously, if he can continue this into next season. But
I mean, and just on the note of just whilst I'm chuffing on about, because I mean, if you haven't seen, for those that haven't seen, I mean, it seems an open secret in Florence that Vincenzo Italiano's time is done at the end of this season. There's a lot of chat linking him to Napoli. And as I say, De Rossi was one of the potential replacements. But the other, apparently, is Palladino from Monza, right, who has been doing well. And our man, Gilardino. Which would be an emotional return for him to Florence. So, I mean, I would be, you know, given his background. In a way, though, it's almost like, you know, you want to be, don't want it.
I know, you don't want him to ruin it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, whilst I would love it to be Gilardino, maybe it would be better if it was Palladino. I mean, either way, it rhymes, so it's all good. But anyway, we shall see. So, but if Vincenzo Italiano is going to Napoli, what a seamless link we have there, then he's certainly got his work to do on the evidence of what was that? I mean, it was a it was like a game with Monza where they decided to go toe for toe on who could score the more beautiful goal, really, because there were a lot of beauties in it. But the one that caught your eye, and I think mine as well, and I've sung the praises of this before, was Victor Osimhen's header. I mean,
It was one of those ones where you wonder how on earth he can jump that high and hang in the air like he did. You know, like there's the famous picture of Ronaldo when he was at Juve. But this must be challenging, I think, for the height that he got up to.
He definitely was. I mean, he looked injured after it, because I think he did get made a back for him or whatever underneath him. But nonetheless, the way, as I say, I've sung the praise before, that I don't think there are many things in football more impressive than a Victor Osimhen header. And this was, add this to the catalogue. Yeah, in yeah. a game, as I say, where Politano scored a worldie, then Zielinski got in on the act, and you know, and then
and Kolpani.
Kolpani, yeah. who we've raved about in the past as well. It was goal after goal after goal. In fact, I was a bit disappointed really where Raspadori scored a tap in at the end, and it was almost like that should only really count for half a goal or something, because you know that really wasn't. I didn't think that was worthy of that particular game, but it did still underline, I think, you know, Napoli have got some lovely players, can score some great goals, but there's definitely a problem in that defence. It's not the unit mm-hmm. that it was, and whoever comes in, I mean, if they think Vincenzo Italiano is the cure to a leaky defence, I can send them a couple of videos from Florence. I'll send them Igor in the Conference League final to remind them. But good luck to FS. If Italiano goes to Napoli, then good luck to him there, and hopefully goes with a trophy under his arm that he's won for that. But a frustrating Sunday for me, and a frustrating Sunday for you as well, Marco, I believe. An annoying goalless draw against struggling
Ascoli. And you know, all the other teams, Como and Cremonese won. Como away to Catanzaro, I was kind of hoping for a draw there, maybe, or a Catanzaro victory. But
did you watch the highlights of that?
I didn't actually see the highlights.
They had an equaliser chopped out late in the game.
Rightly chopped out?
Yeah, right. Sorry okay. to report it was, but very narrowly chopped out, you know, so it was there. And they also had one ruled out in the first half as well. That was not so narrow. But I know the other results were not great.
The pressure was on us to win. But then, unfortunately, when the lineup came out, we were missing a rather key figure because Poyampalo was attending the birth of his first child.
Let's get into that, Marco. Let's get into some more off the pitch. I mean, let's say that you were the leading marksman for Venezia in the season. It's a crucial game, and imagine that your wife, she doesn't listen to this podcast, does she?
No. No.
No, that's good. So you're safe. You can speak freely. You can tell the truth. So it's a big game, Ascoli. Your rivals all around you are closing in. Would you have said to your manager, look, boss, I need to be at the hospital for the birth of my first child?
Oh, yeah, because while you may have wanted to be on the pitch, I think you understand what the rest of your... the rest of your life will be like if you're not. So yes, I probably would have followed in Poya's footsteps, but unfortunately what it showed is that there is a yawning chasm between us with Poyampalo and without, because we had to start with Olivieri, who did absolutely nothing, and then Pierini came on and did nothing as well. And you know, we just played. I was very frustrated by Ascoli, but you know, they're a team near the bottom of the table, so I suppose you say fair play. But they were very, it was a very Mourinho-esque performance. I think I said on Twitter that, you know, they got away with their fouling game, and then an Ascoli fan showed me the list, the number of fouls, and we committed more fouls according to the game. But my point wasn't just the fouls, but they would fall over at the slightest touch. They'd be clutching their face. You know, all the sort of gamesmanship going on. I don't know if you know the player Belushi at the back. He's a Serie B, I think, right. Argentinian. Any team that has him in their defence, I hate it, because he is like, you know, he's got all the tricks. He's a dirty bastard.
Yeah, old dirty bastard. Yeah. Really,
and
line.
Yeah, he was fouling all game, and then at the very end, in the 95th minute, he did a tackle which the ref, who was atrocious, let them get away with all this through the whole game, only gave a yellow card. But then when you saw him VAR, he caught Bjarkason above the knee with his studs, so he was then sent off. But it was a bit late by that stage. But you know, That's more my frustrations about it. We still should have beaten Ascoli, and we just didn't look like we had. It was only in the last 5 minutes that we sort of played with the urgency that we needed to. Because frankly, losing a point to, you know, one point doesn't do us very much. So we could have lost to them, but I would rather have seen us go all out to try and win it. And we didn't really do that, unfortunately. So I'm kind of resigned now, unless Como slip up somewhere, but they've got a fairly easy run in, it looks like to me, that it'll be the playoffs. So the key thing is to stay in third or fourth place, because that helps you in the playoffs.
The consolation, I suppose, if there is one, is that I'm presuming that Puyanpalo's child was born in Venice.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
That could be good news for Italy's attack.
It could be in
18 or 19 years' time. You know, I mean, be that boy or girl who could play for the Nazionale would be eligible to play for Italy. So I look forward to it. I hope I'm still kicking around when in 20 years'
exactly.
time when Puyanpalo leads the line for the Azzurri or the Azzurri. I don't know. Do we know if it was a boy or a girl? Has the word come out?
I knew he has had the baby now, but yeah. I don't. Let me quickly live check this.
Yeah. Quickly live check it, or we can save it as like a cliffhanger for next week's episode.
No, I did see they did announce it.
Hang on.
Oh, my goodness.
A drum roll here for the Puyanpalo, and congratulations to the Puyanpalo family. I'm presuming rather than milk, it will be raised on beer from an early age.
Congratulations on a girl.
Okay, so it's the Azzurri this time. You know, we'll get on work. That's excellent news to know that the Azzurri have got a top goal scorer to rely on in 20 years' time. So that's a consolation. But no, you're right. I mean, I was looking at the league table there, Marco, and it looked like not an absolute turning point, but you know, I mean, the thing is, on goal difference, you and Parma really are the top two teams in that division. But you've obviously, the difference has been the defence, where you've thrown away points, and it now looks, you know, likely that it could be the playoffs. And I also noticed, which could be bad news, that Sampdoria have sneaked into those playoff places, which, you know, if you consider their form at the start of the season, that's got to be a worry as well, because they're
and also hitting. I think, frankly, that sort of thing doesn't help with refs and stuff, because who will the people want back in Serie A, Venezia or Sampdoria?
Oh, you see, good. We've not had a good conspiracy theory. I mean, this is the show of the conspiracy
exactly.
theory. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the big team or the wee team. It's true. That's true. They can get Genoa derbies back in Serie A or you.
You never know, like, because as we've said, Serie B is no easy games. I say Como have an easy running, but so I think they actually have to play Sampdoria. But you know, they've still got, in theory, they've got to win six games in a row, mm-hmm. which is never, I don't think they've done that all season. So,
no, I know.
So, you know, if we could go on a bit of a run, then it might come down to the last game of the season or something like that. That would be great. But I think the main thing, we have to say, right, playoffs, and we have to say we must have Puyanpalo fit and in form for that. And if we've got him in the team, I think we can beat anyone in the division. Yeah.
Well, you've got them for 9 months or so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's going to be surely at least a year until you. And then the second one, we all know, is not as big a deal as the first
exactly.
one. You know,
well,
my children don't listen to Luca. Don't listen. It's not true. The second one's just as important as the first one. But you know, so you'll surely get him back. You know, other than injuries or suspensions, he'll not have to go to the birth of his first child again. So you've got him for the run in now. So you're hoping he bangs in a few more. But you'll be able to follow all of that and any. Interesting little baby-related stories that Marco might be able to gather for us during the during the week. Perhaps cute pictures of Puyanpalo Jr. in a little baby Venezia top or something. That'd be something to share on our Twitter during the week. But if you've enjoyed our frustration and rage against and conspiracy theories, then please tune in again next week. We're in the final run-in of the season. We've got six or seven games to go, and it's you know, there's still a lot to play for. Maybe not so much for Fiorentina in the league, but we'll look at Europe, and we'll look back at obviously Italian teams in action in Europe this week. Not that inferior Champions League thing.
No.
We've got bigger fish to
exactly.
fry in the Europa and Conference League. But if you want to get all that round up, then listening again next week. And in the meantime, tell everyone you know about what a great podcast this is. And we'll be back in a week's time.
And we'll speak to you then.
Bye, Marco.